Welcome to the Playlist Podcast. I'm Charles Barfield, managing editor of the Playlist. And joining me for this episode, as always, is Mike D'Angelo and Brian Farver. Okay, guys, I just have one question for you. Why did you do this to me?
Because I had to, man. It was just sitting there and I knew you would hate it. And I needed it.
It made you furious.
It did. So just so you guys know, we had so much fun last Halloween ranking the Halloween movies that we thought we would, you know, it was time to do another franchise ranking. And Mike had the brilliant idea of forcing Charles to watch Fast and Furious. So that's what we're doing. We're ranking the Fast and Furious movies this episode. It's not fun for me. I did not enjoy this. My wife almost divorced me. You guys, it's ironic in this movie about this franchise about family that you've almost ruined my family. But
yes.
Here we go.
She watched them all with you and was just like,
no. That's okay. The thing is, she refused.
She did not.
And was angry at me because I was like, I can't spend time with you. I have to watch The Fate of the Furious.
She gets no points from me then. If I didn't sit through it with you and learn all that is the Fast and the Furious.
She did sit through a little bit of Furious 7 and laughed incessantly throughout.
She laughed?
Laugh. Oh, Brian, we're gonna have a long discussion, man. If you don't think that there are funny moments in this,
Continue.
So, let's get to this. We're gonna talk about every single Fast and Furious movie up until Fast X, because as of this recording, none of us have seen this, the newest one. So we're just gonna talk about the 9 that we've seen. The 9, not Hobbs and Shaw.
I don't understand why you're being this way. Why you're being this way.
A, it's not a true Fast and Furious movie. It is in the Fast saga, but it's not Vin Diesel's Fast saga. And if not anything, I am a Vin Diesel stan, and I support everything he does.
Okay.
So I want to keep it pure and not tainted by The Rock. But
sounds
seriously,
very white supremacy.
No, but seriously, the reason is I just couldn't bring myself to watch it again.
I love that movie.
I do too.
I saw it at a screening with you, Mike. I think we're anyway, so we're gonna talk about Fast and Furious films, starting with the first one up into F9. We're actually going to do it similar to what we did with the Halloween episode, where we have all individually rank the movies, and then we're going to discuss them in our combined ranking. So we'll start with the one that we think is the worst, go to the one that we think as a group is the best. As with that other episode, Brian Farver is here to throw a wrench in the discussion, so look forward to that.
why else would I be here?
obviously we're gonna talk about spoilers for this franchise, so if you haven't seen any of them, don't listen, or listen anyway, because the spoilers don't matter, because you're
spoilers
not here for the
do
plot
not matter
no
for this franchise.
Not even slightly.
Even if we're saying a character has died in a movie, there's no guarantees they're not actually
of course
later.
Right. So before we get to that, though, I want to tell you the Playlist Podcast is part of the Playlist Podcast Network, which includes The Fourth Wall, The Discourse, Bingeworthy, Deep Focus, and my baby, the newest podcast, the Mayans podcast called Templo Talk, where we talk about FX's Mayans MC, because it's a great show and everybody should watch it. But you can find any of these podcasts wherever you find podcasts: Anchor, Stitcher, Apple, Spotify, everywhere. Okay,
also
boys.
Yellowstoners.
Oh yeah, Yellowstoners. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Which is never coming back because Kevin Costner, right?
Oh sure, yeah, there's no, you know, wealth of material that's still going because of it.
Yes, I would actually, if we want to talk about the business of Yellowstone, I'd be fascinated to talk about that for an hour.
Yeah.
But anyway, regardless, let's get to the task at hand. Let's talk about Fast and Furious. So like I said, we rank them individually, which will reveal our individual rankings, but I combine them point-based system, rank them based on the one that we rank the highest versus the ones we rank the lowest combined.
Yeah, so no one's happy in the end.
No.
That's true.
So to start things off, we're going to start with a bummer, which I'll let Mike guess this one. What do you think is the worst movie as voted by the three of us?
Too Fast, Too Furious.
You are correct. Yeah. 5 points. 1 point from me and Mike, and 3 points from Brian, because he thinks there are two other Fast and Furious movies worse than Too Fast, Too Furious. I'm not going to waste a whole lot of time on this movie. Here are my general thoughts on this movie. It doesn't have Vin Diesel, which sucks. Yeah. And it adds Tyrese to the franchise, which sucks. And as we'll discuss later, Paul Walker has charisma like cardboard. So he does nothing for me. Kind of end of story. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm a little more lenient on the franchise as a whole, obviously. But Paul Walker doesn't work without, you know, certain things to bounce off of. Tyrese is annoying as hell. I think he's the worst character in the whole franchise.
By a country mile.
Yeah, he's always one note and just like the jokey clown. And I don't love him, but you know, I'm willing to accept him within the smorgasbord that is these movies.
Brian, yeah,
Too Fast, Too Furious, not great.
Brian, tell me why it's not the worst movie. You don't have to tell me what you ranked lower, but why is this one not the worst?
I mean, it is still not great, but I'm trying to think here. I remember I was working at a movie theater at the time, so I saw bits and pieces of this, and obviously I knew that, okay, this is the sequel to the first one, and I don't know. I mean, it's what your comment about Paul Walker, like, now that I can go back and look at all of these films, I actually feel like everybody, I Tyrese to an extent, and I don't know where that extent stops, but I feel like everybody in these films is committing so hard. And it hadn't quite kicked in. Like, it felt like the engine, if I may use a car.
There will be puns.
Will be many.
It was kind of picking up some steam at this point, but even so,
I love you talking about cars picking up steam as if we're talking about this, like, steam engines.
Old timey, yes.
Okay, old revolution. Guy Farver. Yeah. We're talking NOS, bro.
Yes, I know. But yeah, I don't know. It's to me, this is a perfect 2003 action car film. I mean, yeah. it really is a product of its time period. And I think that's why I like kind of almost view it like it's weird to be nostalgic about these movies. It's really strange.
It's the Mission Impossible 2 of the franchise.
It really is. It's got a couple of things I really do like, and I actually really like Paul Walker in this one. I don't know. And I like him all throughout. So that's the thing. Like, I think he works
as the character for the most part.
For the most part, yes.
Okay, fair enough. Those are our thoughts on Too Fast, Too Furious. It's completely forgettable.
Studio not understanding why the first one was successful,
right.
And the star not wanting to come back.
I was about to say, and Vin Diesel refusing to come back, which is so ironic given the fact that he will not let this franchise die.
Yeah. You can tell a lot of what Tyrese is doing is a Vin Diesel replacement, and not,
which is
like
so
his
silly
own character. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so Mike, I'm going to come back to you. We're moving to the second worst. What do you think it is?
For me, it's Tokyo Drift, I think.
You're absolutely right. It is Tokyo Drift.
Nice.
Now, here's what's interesting about Tokyo Drift. I ranked this number 4.
Oh.
Mike ranked this number 8. Yeah. Brian ranked this dead last. Yeah. So you guys are bringing it down. So I want to start with why I like Tokyo Drift. And I'll say this much. A, Christopher Nolan's on my side, so fuck y'all.
I don't think it's a bad movie. I would watch any of these movies multiple times.
And B, it doesn't have Vin Diesel, which was a bad thing when Paul Walker's there. Well, okay, we'll get to it. But it is it's like a side quest. And it is so weird that it exists. And it's so weird that elements, like major elements of this movie, become major elements of the franchise moving forward. But also, it's kind of fun and forgettable and just not as annoying as the other ones, which I find this franchise, as we'll get to later, very annoying and very bad. And this one, because it doesn't have Vin Diesel and Paul Walker, I find the exclusion of both of them works in the benefit of this movie, because you can't have one without the other. And and so just removing both of them works. Plus, you know, who doesn't like Tokyo?
Tokyo's great. I love the basically they're taking the first one and dropping it in Japan, and doing like the drift scene or whatever. But it feels like a straight to DVD sequel. Is my problem with it.
At the time, it kind of was viewed that way. Right?
Yeah, it wasn't released only on DVD.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, it wasn't. It was a theatrical release, but it was clearly like Vin Diesel was kind of done with this franchise. Paul Walker, after the Too Fast, Too Furious didn't do as hot as he wanted, was kind of done with it. And it just was like a last ditch effort. Like,
right.
Let's just see if we can keep it going.
A lot of those straight to DVD sequels at the time would just take the first movie's plot and drop it in a different situation. And
that's true. Again.
And that's why I was just like, oh, this is kind of a rehash. And I hate Lucas Black. Like, he is terrible.
Oh, God.
Terrible.
Doesn't know what he's doing at all.
Yeah, he's another big notch where I'm just like, oh, no.
See, I kind of have a soft spot for Lucas Black. His little country bumpkin, I enjoy it. I think it's so ridiculous that it kind of works for me. So yeah, I enjoy it.
Yeah, it's memorable for Sung Kang, you know.
Yeah,
jumping into the franchise and just the impact that it has on the franchise because of how it affects the timeline.
Oh yeah,
is the reason I love it.
We'll get to that because I think in our text chat about, you know, as I'm rewatching this, you had said you want me to try to explain the timeline and we'll get to it. It's kind of all over the place.
Yeah.
So we're kind of breezing through these because I feel like these are kind of inconsequential. These three at the bottom.
Sure.
Actually, I lie. Because this one, it might be a shock for a lot of people. Mike, what do you think is number 7?
Fast and Furious.
No. Mm. Fate of the Furious.
Okay. I know a lot of people didn't like that one.
So
I get it.
Here's what I'll say about Fate of the Furious. This was my first time watching it, was 2 nights ago. And I had seen, by this point, I had watched 5, 6, and 7 in quick succession. And I'm watching Fate of the Furious and it loses all the frenetic craziness of Furious 7 and all of the kind of silly action of Furious 6 and Fast 5. And it's just kind of like, it's like they were trying to do something dramatic and trying to do something like super meaningful. And it just completely falls flat for me.
Oh, I love it because it's a mess. Like it's one of those where you're trying to do this dark story with Dom, which I find it so hilarious when he turns that he just refuses to talk to the team, the family. And like there are moments where he's like completely capable of explaining the situation or at least just like giving them something so they understand. And he just doesn't say a thing.
Fast 5 through F9, I took extensive notes because these were first time viewings for me.
Yeah. And it's also where the series changes into what it kind of becomes.
Very much. Yes.
Where the snowball starts to really snowball.
And before I get to a couple of my notes, Brian, what were your thoughts? Because you ranked this one pretty low as well, I think, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. And I'm trying to think here. I actually really quick, I'll send it back to you guys. Do you guys like Charlize Theron in this movie?
Here's what I'll say about Charlize. She knows the assignment. She understands the assignment.
Yeah.
And she probably made a lot of money.
Which is why she keeps coming back.
Yeah.
That's great. That's the best answer.
I think she's having a great time. Yeah.
I actually do think so too. This was one where, yeah, you're right. I thought it was terribly unnecessary. I really like the director a lot.
Gary Gray.
Yeah. So my expectations were not high, but also I guess maybe more curious with this one. But again, just going into it, I just didn't think like there's a need for this at all. And I think that kind of tainted things a little bit. That said, Charlize included, I think everybody is doing an awesome job. Everyone, even Tyrese. Like, I thought the whole cast is just like completely killing it.
Wow. Okay.
Also, but is that the airplane said, is the airplane in the air the entire movie? Is how did like how they, long?
Yeah, there's no fuel.
Have been know. There.
Don't so,
oh, there's so many good questions.
My yeah. issues with this movie is it's in a weird spot. You mentioned F. Gary Gray. It's in a weird spot because from Tokyo Drift up through the sixth movie, so that's one, two, that's four movies.
Yeah,
were directed by Justin Lin, and he definitely set the tone, especially after Fast Five and Furious Six. This is what these movies look like.
Totally.
And then we'll get to Furious Seven with whatever, what's his name, James Wan, whatever he was doing. But the movie, the franchise takes this like left turn with James Wan. The F. Gary Gray had an opportunity to do something really wild with it, and he just made an action movie. It was kind of a bummer as far as the direction goes.
But I think, honestly, really quick, that is, I could not agree with you more. That is one of my biggest problems there. Yep.
Well, that, and there's a big hole where Paul Walker stood. Where they tried to even bring in like Clint Eastwood's kid, and they're like, you're the Brian now. And everyone's just like, nope, no.
In my notes, in my notes, I have just four words. Scott Eastwood is bad.
He's terrible.
He's terrible in this movie. Yeah.
He's the worst of them, yes.
And what's really bad is Tyrese is always trying to make jokes at his expense. But because you hate Scott Eastwood, the jokes don't even really work. You're like, it's not even funny. All right,
but
so
you gotta give the Jason Statham airplane scene with the baby.
Okay,
pure masterpiece.
Let me read some of my comments here. Okay.
Okay.
What person is so badass and cool and scary that Dom's team doesn't stand a chance against him? Dom, of course, the height of narcissism. There's a moment when Dom is told that nobody else could possibly take down his team except for him. And you're like, ew, I could just feel Vin Diesel writing that being like, fuck yeah. And it just, it annoyed me to no end.
See, these reasons, all the reasons you list off that you're annoyed and you hate it are the reasons where I go, yes, more, more.
Well, here's, I'll just get this out of the way. I have a hard time separating the art from the artist. So I have a very difficult,
even better.
I have a very difficult time watching this and not being annoyed at Vin Diesel.
It's great. You know, the egos are clashing left and right, and it just makes it even more fascinating.
Right.
Yeah, and I'm kind of more on Mike's side with that one.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. We'll get more into that later. But here's another thing. I put the God's eye magically is not going to work.
It only works when they need it to work.
Yeah, that's a thing that happens throughout the rest of the series. They created this magical item which lets you track anybody within 5 seconds on the planet. And the whole point is to capture this, and then they just start using it throughout the series only when it's convenient, and then it magically doesn't work when it's not convenient.
Look, if you're going to start arguing logic in this franchise, we're going to be here all fucking day, man.
I know. And then here's another thing that I put. This is a running theme in all the movies. Tyrese immediately sexually harassing a woman when she gets on screen.
Every single one.
Every woman. And Charlize Theron, it's not just this movie, too. In F9, she also gets sexually harassed. Not by Tyrese, though, by another character. She is beautiful. We get it, Tyrese. You don't have to want to bang every woman in these movies, but that's what he wants to do. Every movie, there's a new woman and a new woman that he's like, oh, I want to bang her. And you're like, oh, gross.
Yeah. It's single-handedly keeping that 80s action movie machismo and like toxicity.
That is like, a leftover
alive.
From that, yes.
It is just like, we are going to die on this hill, and it's kind of fascinating because,
but it's not funny. Yeah. That's the
not
other thing.
Usually, sometimes it's so ridiculous that you're like, "Wow, this is fascinating."
Yeah. And then let's talk about self-driving cars. Just because your car has an electric radio and an infotainment system does not mean that it can be fully autonomous.
Just roll with it, bro.
Well, okay. I was immediately annoyed by that, but then there is a point where Charlize Theron, after like the cars all wreck into, because she's trying to stop Dom, the cars all wreck into him, and she goes, "Oh, they're still under warranty." That's a quote, and it made me want to like like throw my TV out the window because this woman who's a super genius doesn't know the difference between insurance and warranties. And not to get all nerdy, but a warranty does not cover car wrecks. You can't go to your dealer with a wrecked car and say, fix it because it's under warranty. So annoying.
Oh, my God. Okay, that, so there that... is a moment. All right, there's a classic story. I'm going to switch franchises here to Star Wars, where Mark Hamill and Harrison Ford and Carrie Fisher, they're all shooting on the first movie. They get out of the trash compactor scene, and Mark Hamill's like, wait, shouldn't we have dirt and gunk all over us because we just got out of the trash compactor? And Harrison Ford goes, it's not that kind of movie, kid. and you got to understand, this ain't that kind of movie, man.
Yeah.
Here's my thing,
though. Watching it for that.
By the point,
kind of stuff makes it better.
But by that point, I'd also have a note here that said, this is actually boring. And I think that's the cardinal sin of this movie, is it gets boring. And then by the time the self-driving cars, I've already checked out. And I'm just like, this is stupid.
Things got too fast and too furious for you.
Yeah. And so then there's an action scene where Vin takes it one step too far for me, where he goes from Arnold Schwarzenegger strong, which he isn't anyway, but he wants to be, to suddenly he's Superman.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, he shoulder bumps an entire door off of a car, which is so ludicrous that I laughed. I'm like, did he just like shoulder bump an entire door off the hinges?
That's the franchise, man. That is the franchise. It's so over the top.
Okay.
And that's why it's lovable, you know?
Well, either way, Fate of the Furious.
Isn't this the one where Statham and The Rock are in prison next to each other? Is that F9?
That's, is that this one?
I thought that was this one.
Yeah. But let's just end real quickly. Let's talk about that Statham on a plane thing.
Oh,
yes. So Statham goes on the plane and he needs to save the baby. Because the whole point of this movie is Dom is willing to basically kill his friends because he finds out he has an illegitimate son. with, you know, if there's one MVP of this franchise, it's Elena.
She gets okay.
She gets shit on left, right, and center.
She's an afterthought in every single movie.
I know. Why you're going on board. Well, she sits there and she tries her damnedest to like, she's got like a mission in Fast Five, and then she's relegated to side piece to Vin Diesel so quickly. They fall in love after Fast Five. And by the time he finds out Letty's alive, she literally says, oh, I'm going to leave. Because obviously
I'll see myself.
She's like pregnant and she's like, oh, I can't. It's okay. Okay, Dom, you go have your love.
I'm going to go live on this airplane until you find me.
Anyway, so Jason Statham's got to save a kid in a fucking car seat as he's like jumping around and shooting people and doing kung fu because that's all.
What
Jason
an
Statham
amazing
does.
Scene, man. That is such a fun scene.
It is a little fun because he's like, because then at the end, he's like, do you smell bad? Oh, it's him. And you're like, oh, the guy shit his pants. That's the joke. That's kind of funny. So I will give Wonderful. That. That was a fun scene. But, you know, other than that, I was, you know, whatever. Oh, and then the logic part of it. We cut to, we assume Jason Statham's able to land the plane. And I guess it's like a couple days later, then Jason Statham delivers the kid. Like, why isn't Vin Diesel like on there? Like, I'm going to pick him up. I'll be at the airport. No, he waits. He makes sure that Jason Statham has him for a couple days.
Yet again, I say it ain't that kind of
movie. I know. Yeah. All right, let's move on because this next one I think we're going to get through fairly quickly, which is Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
The fourth movie, which is in this weird spot where it's not Tokyo Drift, but it's not Fast Five. It's got kind of everybody in it. Not everybody. That's the next one. But it's got Vin Diesel, Paul Walker. They're not really doing the same thing together, though. They kind of have like separate plots. It's a weird one, right?
Yeah, it's pre-Rock, it's pre-Statham, it's like they haven't figured out the magic of it yet.
Right.
And they're kind of spinning their wheels when it comes to what do we do with this tired kind of franchise that we have. And they haven't figured out that, oh, we just kind of embrace the ridiculousness and go full on Ocean's 11, which is Fast Five.
Yeah. Brian, do you have any quick thoughts on Fast and Furious?
Well, I was saying before that this was my introduction to the franchise.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. I mean, and the reason was, I knew that these movies were out. I'd seen bits and pieces of them before, but this is the first one I saw from start to finish. And yeah, it was a very strange experience. That's the best way to describe it. But that said, I mean, now that I can look back on it, I kind of feel like this is when the you know, Fast and the Furious that we know now really started to take shape. And those two, the first two, you know, not stumbling blocks, but the first one, which, you know, could have been easily this very throwaway early 2000s car movie. And then the second one, which, you know, is okay, well, we got a sequel now, and for some reason, and okay, now we've got this weird spinoff, and you know what, let's see what else we can do here. And that's with, and Fast and Furious, I don't know. I weirdly enjoyed it then, even though I was, you know, a little baffled, and rewatching it again, not too terribly long ago, it's all right. I will say, I think this is Paul Walker doing a great job. I think he's great.
It's perfectly fine.
Here's what I'll say. The reason why it's ranked number 6 is because Mike and I put it both at number 7 and Brian put it at 3. Mm-hmm. That's really kind of all you need to know about that.
Yeah.
Brian.
So sure. Moving on, number 5, we're halfway through. And this is a movie that I think we all are generally in agreement. It's kind of middle of the road, which is F9, the most recent.
Yeah.
I guess here I'll consult my trusty notes. F9, I put,
this is Dom's fact.
I just know that Mike's going to tell me, it's not that type of movie, kid. I am a dad. I have a toddler daughter. We are all dads. The three of us are dads.
Mm-hmm.
There's a scene at the very beginning where they're on a, on F9 there. Dom now has his kid, and the kid's probably like 4 or 5, and Letty and him are living on a farm out in the middle of nowhere, and a car drives up, and we don't know who's in the car, and immediately Dom grabs a shotgun, mm-hmm, and tells his kid to go hide in a box. And all I could think about was, they've planned this so many times and made their kid go through so many of these instances where he has to hide in a box, that there's some serious trauma that this kid's going to have to unpack for decades to come.
They made it a game for him, man.
I know. You know. Anytime somebody comes to visit the house, he's like, oh shit, I need to go hide in the box.
Get in the box.
It's crazy. Yeah.
It's wonderful.
And F9 is obviously the one where the basic premise is, after Fate of the Furious, Dom is now wanting to be a dad because he saw Brian and Mia go off and be parents, and he wants that for himself, but he's too damn cool to be a dad, and he's got to fight bad guys. That's just what he does. And Letty basically says, I'm not gonna be a mom, so fuck you, I'm gonna go fight bad guys. And Vin Diesel's like, okay, here, I'll drop my kid off. I'll go fight bad guys too.
You assume he drops the kid off, but they never say what happened to the kid.
They do.
Do they?
Yes, they do. And here is, okay. they explain it later. Let me get my note because I wrote this down. Okay. So let's cut a little further ahead here. We find out that John Cena is Vin's brother, which we never knew he had a brother, by the way.
Really quick, love John Cena in this movie.
Love it.
God, he's great.
Mm-hmm. And John Cena's motivation for wanting to take over the world and murder his brother is because he's not quite as strong as Vin Diesel. It's such a great character motivation. And Vin Diesel could come up with a plot where it's like, my brother is so jealous of me that he wants to murder me.
And this guy with biceps as big as everybody's, like, whole bodies,
yeah,
is, yes,
is not as strong as,
not as
Vin
Diesel. Cool or as strong as me.
Let's I'm gonna back up. I will get to my original point about the babysitting, but the flashbacks made me laugh so much. Yeah. Because the guy who plays Vin Diesel, I don't know any of these actors' names, I'm sorry, except for JD Pardo, who's my favorite, who plays Jack Toretto. The kid who plays Vin Diesel is like 7 feet tall and jacked. And yeah, I'm guessing they're supposed to be like teenagers. And the guy
they're
who
already
plays
well into their, they're probably 30 at this point.
Yeah. And the guy who plays Jacob is maybe 12 years old, super small.
No, he's from Peaky Blinders.
Well, whatever. But I'm just saying that the height difference is substantial. Oh, yeah. And if you know in real life, you know that Vin Diesel is a, I wouldn't say a petite man, but he's on the smaller side. Mm-hmm. And John Cena is not a petite man. So the idea that Vin Diesel...
John Cena's pretty short, too. He's not a super tall dude.
He's like 6 foot.
Is he?
Yeah. Vin Diesel is not. Vin Diesel's like 5'8".
He's Captain Applebaum.
John
sure.
Cena? What? Let me look this up.
Anyway, regardless, the fact that Vin Diesel is so narcissistic that he had to make sure that his childhood self was ripped and like super tall, and that John Cena's childhood self was small, is so hilarious to me.
6'1". Yeah. Wow. Six. Weird.
Boom. Told you. Regardless. Okay. Fast forward. Vin's going off to fight Jacob. And because this is family and, you know, Mia has to show up, but Mia doesn't bring Brian. Why? Because Paul Walker's dead. But in the story, it's because Brian's staying back to be the babysitter. They said that. They said that all the kids are safe with Brian.
Okay.
Why? Why?
Because Brian.
Because Paul Walker's dead.
That's yes, no. He answered the question.
Yeah. What more do you need, bro?
So fucking Vin Diesel calls up me and Brian and says, "Hey, can you take my kid?" And they're like, "Yeah, sure. What are you doing?"
He doesn't trust Mia with them because she always is in trouble.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's true. So he's like, "Hey, can you take my kid?" They're like, "Yeah, sure. What's going on?" Jacob's back. He's taking over the world. I'm going to need help on this one. Mia, can you come along? Brian, you stay at home.
Well, she just kind of shoves herself into it because her brother is a part of the story.
Whatever.
Hey, man.
Brian, the babysitter. R.I.P. Paul Walker. You deserve better.
What do you expect?
Just, they should have killed him. We'll get to the ending of F7. But
okay.
Can we agree, though, this movie is another consistently great performance from Michelle Rodriguez.
I thought you were about to say Paul Walker.
No. All throughout this is, and I may save this for the end, but like the MVP of these movies is Michelle Rodriguez.
No, she's
the fact that she's able to like power through all these movies despite having zero chemistry with Vin Diesel.
Oh my god,
nothing. Nothing.
They're supposedly they have dated like at the very beginning of this franchise, but you wouldn't know it, man. These are, you know, to talk about F9 again, they're like opposite attracting magnets. Like, woof. Yes. They're just like, oh my God. Like
all they have just is the lift, you know, the lift where he lifts her up to his chest or whatever.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all they got.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. We'll talk about, I think we should reserve our Michelle Rodriguez till Furious 6 because that's when she comes back to life. And
the soap opera.
Yeah.
True.
But yeah, so... I personally think she's kind of one note. I think everybody's just playing their character.
Everybody's one note in this.
Yeah.
No, one note, but it's really
a great note.
Dom is deepened, but I don't know that he's ever really fleshed out. There's just more.
But do we want that? Do we
know
want
more
to be fleshed
about
out?
This ridiculous character? I don't know.
Here's a couple of my notes. They're in the fucking jungle at the beginning. And I said, they're in the fucking jungle and he still has to drive a Charger when everybody else is driving off-roading vehicles. Fucking Dom, what an idiot.
Yeah. Same with Tyrese. He's got a neon orange car in the Arctic or whatever.
And then there's a point where Dom comes back to the group and he says, "It's Jacob, my brother." And they're like, "Who's Jacob?" And he's like, "It's my brother, my long lost brother." And they're like, "Wait, what?" And
he killed my dad.
He didn't know that at that point.
Mm.
He has a flashback. Well, I don't know.
He did know it. Yeah.
Yeah. Either way, there's a moment where Tyrese says, "Let me get this straight. Dom's long lost brother is also a secret super spy expert driver. And how did this come to be?" And Ludacris says, "Well, he's a Toretto."
Yeah, like, and that's all you need. What more do you want?
Dom was a local street racing thug in the first movie. He wasn't James Bond. He wasn't on the path to be James Bond. He was a thief, a criminal.
Again, even better. Even better, man.
And we're supposed to believe that both. Oh, my God. Whatever, dude. Whatever. I said in my notes, I said Vin can't even make Dom have a messy past, so Jacob hates Dom because reasons, because Dom stopped Jacob from going to jail, because Dom is better than everything than Jacob. Like, come on, Vin, you got to give Dom a couple of flaws, bro.
No, he is flawless. He is the protector of the family.
And I don't know about you guys, but this is something, and I don't want to get too far deep into this because it's kind of ridiculous and whatever, but Vin Diesel is very publicly said that he has mixed heritage. And he doesn't say whether he's, you know, part black, part Latino, part whatever. It's just that his mom is white and he doesn't know who his dad is. So throughout
John
the series
Cena being his brother.
Well, no, throughout the series, he's clearly trying to paint the picture that he is of Latino descent. J.D. Pardo is his dad. His kid is obviously brown. It's and then in the upcoming movie, his mother is there and she's obviously not white. And they introduce Jacob, who is about the whitest guy in the world, right?
Yeah.
He got the white half.
And there's a line that Charlize Theron says where she goes, "The Toretto's have a mixed bloodline, but I never realized you had Nordic in you."
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, so Mike is here telling me that this isn't that kind of movie, kid.
It is that kind of movie though.
Because even they know it's ridiculous and they have to try to explain it away.
Yeah, this is the point. I'd say where was it? Maybe F7, F8, where they realized how dumb they were and they just leaned into it. And they lean into it more and more each time. And I think this one's very self-aware. And I really enjoyed it. The way they're punching through floors and walls and, you know, a guy stands up and is hit in the back of the head with a complete like highway sign going at whatever 65 miles an hour and doesn't even
shrugs
get
it off.
Over. He just shrugs it off. You're just like, this is action. And I love it.
Okay. Let's move on because we're running. I'm going to keep this under 4 hours. I joked with Mike before we recorded that if I had my way, this would be a 4-hour discussion because I've got lots of thoughts. I will say this about the end of 7, 8, and 9. We'll get more into the ending of 7 in a minute, but Vin Diesel, it's well established that he loved Paul Walker. And part of the reason they've jumped on this whole family bandwagon is because Paul Walker died and they just wanted to push that they were like a family in real life. And he blurs the lines between fiction and reality in Furious 7, but he continues to do it at the end of both Fate of the Furious and F9 as a way to elicit, I think, this like emotion from the audience in an exploitative way.
F7, it really worked.
In F7, it worked. That's the thing. That movie made $1 billion and it worked. Mm-hmm. F8, the end of it, he's like, conveniently, because Elena, again, MVP, what a star, says, "I gave the kid a middle name, but I thought his dad should give him a first name." Who says that, by the way?
Right.
And all of that, from the moment she said that, I was like, oh, his name's Brian. Duh.
So for a year, he's been unnamed?
Blank. Yeah, his birth certificate actually has X's there. But yeah, so obviously at the end he goes, "I want you to meet Brian," and they're all like, "Oh," and you're just like, "Ew, no!" And then at the end of F9,
everyone nods. So they're like, "Yep, he's still alive. He's definitely alive."
So yeah, because that's what you do. You name a kid after your after his uncle, who's definitely still alive. And then at the end of F9, they're having the barbecue because that's what they do after these adventures. They all have barbecues. And everybody's like, there's an empty seat here. And I thought, oh, OK, well, empty seat. You know, Brian's off babysitting, what have you.
Yeah.
And Mia says, oh, no, he's on his way. And you see a fucking skyline like zoom in.
Yep.
And you're like, oh. They will not let this go.
The thing is, they didn't want to kill him in 7 to like honor his memory, and then they were just
totally
stuck
fine
with that choice.
But they could have just let it go. They could have written him off. Movies have written off characters all the time.
Yeah, but that's Brian from Fast and the Furious. He's one of the main characters. Main character for a while. I don't know. I kind of enjoy that he's still around in this universe and that they're still trying to make up reasons that he's alive and it gets
but can't go on screen.
Exactly. Can't, but they are incorporating him, aren't they, in these upcoming movies?
We'll see. We'll see. God help you, because we're gonna get to Fury 7 in a bit. AI Brian is rough.
Yeah.
So let's move on real quick. F9, just middle of the road, totally whatever. Didn't do much for me. I think personally the franchise is on a downward trajectory, but what have you.
I just enjoy more of it.
Yeah. Number four is OG Fast and Furious, the Fast and the Furious.
Yeah.
And here's all I'll say about that. I rank this number three, which was shocking for me because coming into it, I absolutely despised this movie because it is a just shameless ripoff of one of my favorite movies of all time, which is Point Break.
Point Break, baby.
It really is.
And yeah, it is a beat for beat ripoff, and it pisses me the fuck off. But somehow there are six other movies that I think are worse.
Yeah.
So
okay,
I ranked this number three. It became our number four. But any quick thoughts other than it's a Point Break ripoff?
Well, Point Break is a really solid movie.
Catherine Bigelow, Keanu Reeves.
Yes. Yep.
Fucking Patrick Swayze. Come on.
And Paul Walker is not Keanu Reeves, and Vin Diesel is not Patrick Swayze.
Though
and
he
Catherine
might try.
Bigelow is better than Rob Cohen. We get all that, but it still works. Like within all of it, they tweak enough. They introduce this cars and girls and muscles and crime kind of.
There is a crime aspect in Point Break too.
Yeah. That makes it work. And I think it's still there's a reason it was a hit. You know,
okay,
the formula worked.
Oh, it's a great formula for sure. Yeah. I just think that it's, you know, one of those things where I just wish people would watch Point Break.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes. Point Break is a better movie.
Yeah. Brian, do you have any thoughts on OG, The Fast and The Furious?
It's impossible for me to see this as anything but a very throwaway movie. I mean, obviously it's the beginning, but I just see it as, yeah, very like, yeah, the Point Break comparison.
You see it as part four somehow?
Wait, Mike.
Yeah.
Guess where Brian ranked The Fast and The Furious.
Was it last?
No, eighth.
Wow.
Tokyo Drift was last for him.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's another 2001 car film that could have very easily had nothing to follow it.
Do you remember
that way? It's just forgettable. Yeah.
Do you remember the dearth of fucking car movies we got after this?
Oh, yes. So many Biker Boys with a Z.
Oh, that was Ice Cube, right?
I think so.
There's a funny meme going around of Ice Cube and Biker Boys where maybe it was on How Did This Get Made? I forget. But they were joking about how Ice Cube pulls out like a map while he's on a motorcycle going like 80 miles an hour, like a paper map to like, yeah, crazy. Anyway.
Wonderful.
And it's
really quaint
quick
in comparison to the rest of the franchise.
It very much is.
Yeah, it's in a different universe then.
And it wears the
nine.
And it wears the 2001 of it on its sleeve. Like it's
so
totally.
Much.
Yeah. Oh, that's it's un
and
it,
that's
it's
why
hard not to see that. Yes.
I kind of love it because that's when I was like in high school. So I have a nostalgia for that kind of bullshit that I hated at the time, but yet when I see it now, I'm like, oh yeah, remember that?
Yeah,
it's a good time.
We'll just say it's a ripoff of Point Break.
Whatever.
It's not terrible. It's fine.
Yeah, it works.
Okay. It's number four. Number three. And so one, two, and three, I think, are where we get to the point where these all kind of blend together.
Ooh, can I say that the first movie is just a tuna sandwich with no crust? How about that? How about we say that?
Oh, boy.
I'll accept that.
And even that, by the way, is kind of a ripoff of the whole, you know, I need two Utah two. Anyway,
all right.
Number three, we have Furious 7, and I think we need to spend a little bit of time on Furious 7 because this is the biggest earning of the franchise money wise. And it was when Paul Walker died during production. If for those that somehow don't know and you're listening to this, he died in a car accident while speeding. You can see why they don't want to kill him in a movie about cars speeding. Yeah. And it's super tragic. And this kind of put the franchise on a trajectory of honoring Paul Walker. Everything is for Paul. And so let's talk about this one, because this is also kind of the crescendo of a lot of things. This is after Fast Five and Furious Six were big. This movie got James Wan, who, let me just put this out there, those who listen to this podcast know, not a huge fan of James Wan. And guess what? Not a huge fan of James Wan after this, even more so because I think he's a terrible filmmaker. And he brought a style to this movie that was jarring. Everybody is suddenly, the color tones are so warm and tan that like everybody looks like they're been out in the sun for 4 weeks. And then the edits are so quick and jarring, and the camera is always moving around, that I found it very disorienting.
Well, the camera's moving around pretty much from five on. This whole series, you watch just a conversation scene and it always has to be spinning around them.
But Justin Lin is not a great filmmaker. I'll say that much too. He makes every one of these movies look like NCIS. I couldn't help, but my mom, God rest her soul, huge fan of NCIS. I watched many hours of NCIS. And these movies look like that, where people just hang out in a headquarters, joke about shit, and go save the world. And that's Justin Lin's style. But James Wan has like fucking inverted camera movements, and like the action is so quick cut, like a Taken movie. It's crazy.
Man, I love some of the scenes in this movie though.
I
think the building to building car jump scene,
That's something,
is outstanding.
How about the fact that Letty and Dom started a race car convention in the desert called Race Wars? Really? That was the best name?
That's from part one, man.
Race Wars?
Yeah.
Did I forget that somehow?
Yeah, that's the little desert race thing that they had out there, where the little mousy kid lost his car and he comes.
Well, I remember the scene. I didn't realize it was called Race Wars.
Yeah.
Well, if you listen to Fox News, Race Wars here, man. How about Iggy Azalea calling Letty the ghost girl? Hilarious.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah.
Let's see. Kurt Russell.
Kurt Russell is awesome in this movie.
Mr. Nobody, turns into his name.
Yep.
But in the movie itself, he's introduced as, oh, I'm not anybody. And they go, what? And he goes, yeah, I'm like a nobody. And they're like, Mr. Nobody, like a joke. And then suddenly that's like his code name.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's fantastic. I love it.
So much so that Scott Eastwood is little nobody.
Yeah. Can I talk to you about my favorite part of this movie? And it's not like cars jumping into each other or doing something crazy. It is The Rock getting up from his hospital bed and saying, daddy's got to go to work, and busting out of his cast. And like 20 minutes later, he's got a giant ass machine gun that
he's
totaling through the streets. It's just so fucking amazing.
Never mind the fact that he was also in a boot.
Yeah,
that is great. Yes.
It doesn't matter, dude. It's not that kind of movie, kid. Oh, man, I love it. I gotta say, I know you hate The Rock, but he is the best character in these movies.
His dialogue is written as I can't even tell you. It's like from a different world, his dialogue.
He is the result of the path that Schwarzenegger and Stallone and Roadhouse and Point Break, all of it like led to this amalgamation of 80s action characters, like hyper macho on steroids and NOS and all that. And he is all of it. And I think he really understands the assignment, like you were saying with Charlize, but I think The Rock understands it the most. Like, he gets the franchise he's in.
So a couple quick notes on the fighting. We have Paul Walker versus Tony Jaa, who, if you're a fan of action movies, Tony Jaa is like a legend. And the fact that Paul Walker can beat him in a fist fight is insulting to my intelligence. Then we have Ronda Rousey, who I forgot was part of this, perhaps the worst actress on the planet.
She's bad. Yeah.
And she fights Michelle Rodriguez. And it brought up a point, because then Ronda Rousey's crew is all women. And I realized, oh, yeah, they only let Michelle Rodriguez fight women up until now. Ridiculous.
Yes, you're not wrong. Is. You're
and
not wrong.
I also wrote that Tyrese is, he's terrible. He's unfunny as hell. And his jokes are cringy and I can't even do it.
Okay. Yeah. Really quick though. He and old Scott, they're not great, but they're trying.
No, they're right? not. There's well, Tyrese mark. Is trying. He's just a bad actor.
yeah.
But, okay, so I want to talk about the end of this because Furious 7 also introduces Statham, and Statham's great, by the way.
Statham is perfect for this franchise.
He like, really is.
I forgot it took so long for him to come into it because mm-hmm. he just, you feel like he's always been there.
Yeah, yeah. He's a pretty good actor in the sense that he delivers the lines like The Rock where they're so ridiculous but funny. Mm-hmm. And his fighting is actually better than everybody else. So it works.
Of course it is. Yeah.
But the end of this movie is in a garage and like a parking garage. And they're on the top level and some like explosions happen and the integrity of the garage starts to come into question. And there's a moment where he's facing off of Vin Diesel and Vin Diesel stomps really hard on the ground and collapses the entire garage.
Yes. I am standing up and cheering. Charles is crying into his popcorn.
As if that wasn't ridiculous enough, he dispatches of Jason Statham with a stomp on the ground. He then, this is, he is Vin Dom, gets in his Charger and he drives up a crumble like a ramp and has a bag full of grenades, as one does, and deposits the bag of grenades perfectly on a helicopter in mid-flight and then like lands. And of course the grenades are then shot by The Rock and they explode. And
that
the
is
world
this
is saved.
Franchise in F9.
Wait,
we forgot to mention F9 where they drive off the cliff and catch that wire.
Yeah. Cause he just knew it was going to happen.
Oh my God. That is a chef's kiss of an action scene right there.
Now let me get to the point of this. He does that whole grenade thing. He lands and he's like dead. And Paul Walker runs over. Everybody runs over, giving him CPR. He is not breathing. Michelle Rodriguez tells him, stop. And Paul Walker's like, okay, I'll stop saving his life. And she starts telling him, I remember everything. Yeah. I love you so much. I remember getting married. And Vin Diesel comes back to life. What?
Dude, just roll with it, my friend. These guys are immortal. They even talk about it in F9 where they're like, are we immortal? And the whole argument is, who gives a shit? Just roll with it, boy.
Like, now I can give it a pass. Yes.
You guys. Oh my God.
What?
This is what's insultingly wrong? Bad.
That's what's fun about it.
It's not.
You got to embrace that stuff, man.
You can be halfway logical. I'm not even asking.
Why would you want half logic in this franchise? I don't know.
All right, so we're running out of time a bit. So I want to move ahead to the very end of this movie, which because Paul Walker has died during production, they ended up using his brother, who looks a lot like him, as a stunt double / stand-in.
Yes.
And then they used CGI to CGI Paul Walker's face on top of this guy's face. And every moment that it happens, it is completely noticeable and took me out of this movie.
They hadn't figured it out yet.
Yeah.
So then at the end, they're very clearly, they're on a beach and they're very clearly trying to block Brian's face because it's his, you know, Paul Walker's brother and Paul Walker's dead. And they're trying to explain why Paul Walker is just no longer going to be part of this franchise. And they say it's because he's going to have two kids with Mia and they're playing on the beach. It's very sweet. And, Vin just decides to leave.
Aren't you gonna say goodbye?
It's never goodbye.
And he gets in his car and he drives off. And apparently Brian saw this, was so hurt by it that he gets in his car, zooms down the road, and is like, "Wait, you're not even gonna say bye?" And then they just smile at each other. Oh my God. It's whatever. It's a very sweet moment.
It's in my head right now, yes.
It's a good send off for Paul Walker. They do show like the whole scenes from all the other movies. And it really blurs the line because in the movie, now here's what I want you to do. I want you to divorce reality from the movie.
What do you mean? You're just now divorcing reality?
No. The real story. And just imagine that they just had this mission. Paul Walker and him, they've been saving the world for decades now. And Paul Walker says, I want to be a dad. And I want to, you know, kind of just do a dad thing. And they're like, yeah, cool. Sure. We don't want to do this anymore either, because hopefully the world doesn't end anymore and we don't have to do this. And Vin Diesel just leaves and drives off. And you're like, oh, okay, cool. Bye, Dom. If you take the reality and the symbolism out of it, suddenly you're left with just an ending that doesn't make a lick of sense.
Well, they very clearly had to just make it work. And yeah. I think it does work for what it was.
Totally agree.
It's schmaltzy and it's really, really on the nose. But I think for, you know, for the franchise, for what they had to deal with, I think it works.
Okay.
Yeah. It's the franchise that you could get away with it in.
I will accept it. Yes.
All right. Let's fast forward here to Fast 6, which I rank as my number one. Not 6? Even close. Yep. And Mike ranked it number 5 and Brian ranked it number 4. Mm-hmm. I think this is the epitome of the Fast franchise. And I'll say it's because I don't find Fast 5 any better than any of the other ones, honestly. I don't see the big hype around it. We'll talk about that in a second. But Furious 6, I think, is the first one that offers me a villain that's interesting, which is Owen Shaw. And mm-hmm. I think Owen Shaw is great. It gives me just enough of the ridiculousness with like the little F1 cars that can like send other cars flying that I was like, okay, I buy into that, whatever. And it worked for me because I think the humor was good. I think The Rock is actually pretty good in it.
Oh, so good. That's the first, no, second one with The Rock. Second one.
Yeah. There are issues that I have with the very beginning of this movie where they think, because they in Fast 5, they walk away with $11 million each. And we're supposed to believe that $11 million.
I love that.
$11 million is enough for Tyrese to have a jet and supercars, which whatever.
Yep. I was going to say he's already spent it at this point.
Yeah.
He's living off of credit.
But it also has one of the best. One of the best lines in these movies, and I don't know if anybody else caught how ridiculous this is.
Oh yes.
Well, no, I don't know. I think we might be doing something different here. Brian's talking to Mia because Mia's no longer, because Mia's a woman. She serves no purpose other than to give birth to kids and watch kids. And
which she's very bad at.
Yeah. And so Paul Walker's calling her and he says, "Hey, do me a favor and kiss Jack goodnight for me, okay?" Okay. No dad has ever said that to his wife and the mother of his child.
I say kiss the kids goodnight for me.
I do.
Do me a favor.
I do too.
Do me a favor and kiss Jack goodnight for me. It's so weird.
You heartless bastard.
It's so weird.
You wouldn't have someone give your kids a kiss goodnight. Oh,
I wouldn't make it seem like
I can't kiss any kid or through my wife or whatever it is.
No, the whole like, hey, do me a favor. Kiss my kid goodnight for me, okay?
And also, you can eat shit.
Yeah.
But no, my favorite line of dialogue in the whole series is in F6.
What is it?
Or Fast 6 or whatever. Well, Fast and Furious 6. Jesus, the titles are confusing.
Yeah, they are.
There is a point in the 6th movie, and it perfectly encapsulates if this franchise is going to work for you or not. They're like Letty is getting blown across a bridge after being thrown from a tank. They collide in midair,
which is
dumb.
Absolutely
lands
bananas.
On a car with them at like 100 miles an hour. They're unscratched, and Letty says to Dom like 10 minutes later, "How did you know that the car would be there to break our fall?" And Dom goes, "I didn't. Some things you just have to take on faith." And it is amazing. Like, how do you get better than that?
Yeah, it's,
oh,
ridiculous.
It's unbelievable.
Real quickly, Brian, I'll have you share your thoughts, but real quickly, I just want to mention Joe Taslim's in this, and he's fantastic. But again, the fact that anybody on this in this cast can beat him up is an insult to my intelligence.
Well, there is a fun fight scene where just Tyrese and Sung Kang.
Oh,
are just,
God, so great.
Yeah.
They just get their asses handed to them.
Off. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Gal Gadot, who we have not mentioned until now. Yeah. It factors heavily into 5 and 6. She continues to only be used as a hot girl who gets guys because she's hot.
I believe, and in both movies, she's just like, you
used
forget
for,
they're just men, and then does something sexy.
Yeah, it's so unbelievable. And Tyrese, of course, always has thoughts. Ludacris has thoughts because, you know, she gets the handprint. She willingly sets herself up for sexual assault, basically.
And somehow a handprint is left on her ass.
And all Tyrese and Ludacris can say is like, did you bang him? You know, it's like, come on, guys. And then the tank, I like the tank. I thought that was pretty great. Mm-hmm. And
it's a great one. Yeah.
I will say the okay, Brian, quick thoughts. I'm sorry, I'm talking a lot.
No, because I agree with everything you just said. And I think maybe as like a leading into the next one, the last one, it's on par with the last one or the first one. That's my thoughts.
It's fine, but we have to mention the 35 plus mile
That's right.
Yes.
Runway.
Yeah, so the end of this movie, they are trying to take down the world's biggest plane. I think Tyrese hilariously calls it a planet. that's not a plane, that's a planet. Okay, Tyrese. Good job, buddy. And so yeah, they're going down the runway, but the scene's like 20 minutes long. Which, if they're going like 100 miles an hour, what did you say, Brent or Mike? You said that
somebody figured it out, and it was like 33 or 35 miles long.
Wow.
And the world's longest runway is only like 3. So they were either turning and we never knew it, or it's just the longest runway that any country has ever seen. And it spans multiple, you know,
cities
or whatever.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. And also quickly, this is the film where Letty comes back to life. Yep. She's killed in Fast and Furious.
Mm-hmm.
And she's gone from Fast 5. It's a big part of it because Vin finds love. And then this is the movie where they get the picture of Letty and Vin shows it to Elena. And Elena's like, I'll see myself out even though I'm pregnant.
There's a supercut online of nobody ever reacting to the photo. Too. It's so great.
Yeah, they're all just like no selling it. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. And
amazing.
And the whole point of the movie is that Letty has zero memories because she looks at the picture and says like, oh, that's not me, whatever.
Yeah.
Not literally that's not me, but that whoever that was, I'm no longer her. But by the end of it, she's sitting on Dom's lap and kissing him.
Yep.
Why? How?
Yeah, she is.
Because... Dude, just roll with it.
And then also we got to say Giselle dying to further the plot of Han is an insult to Gal Gadot. And I always hate seeing women get
fridged. She'll come back before the end. Don't worry.
Oh, I'm sure she will.
Yeah.
I mean, if Owen Shaw can survive what he can survive, she just like fell off of a moving car. Like it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah, and Han survived, and everybody survives.
Yeah. So let's talk about Fast 5. It's the number one movie by a long shot. You both ranked it number one, I believe.
Yes, I did.
Indeed.
I ranked it at number two. So okay. Here's my thing. Everybody talked about how great this movie was, and I never saw it before this week. And I got to tell you, I don't get it. I think a heist movie in theory is fantastic, but you have to give me like meaningful plot points. So just quickly, the point of this movie is the guys come together. They're going to pull off a robbery of a drug dealer, going to get like $100 million. And the way they're going to do it is they're going to break into a police station because the drug dealer keeps selling the police station. And there is probably an hour of this movie, 45 minutes to an hour, where they are getting cars. They're doing all this, like they have to evade the cameras. They have to, you know, everybody
it's
takes
the planning stages.
Yes. Except at the end, they say, oh no, forget that. We're just going to drive through the wall and pull it out of the wall ourselves.
Yes.
And you can't give me a heist movie,
but
where all the planning is
this.
But none of that, all of the, we need a special type of car. We need a car that can be seen on cameras. All that's for nothing.
It's a full Ocean's 12. Yeah,
it really is.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. I really love Fast 5, but it's where they completely like upended what the franchise was. And at the time it was like, wow, this is completely new. This is not like any Fast and Furious movie before. Yes, there's cars and crazy stuff, but now they're doing heists, and like many franchises at that time, they were just inserting the Rock and hoping that that stuck. And for some reason, it just worked in this case.
Because the Rock doesn't have to act well.
Right. He just has to be that ultra macho 80s action hero.
Yeah.
And he's great at it. So I just really like all the elements. I think all the elements really work. And that chase at the end, the safe chase, is awesome. Oh, it's so good. That's
pretty cool, except, okay. So I know that the twist is they needed both cars because they put the actual vault on a truck, and they had the fake vault, which you can just call overnight a fake vault, by the way. Didn't know that could happen.
Yes, it can.
But there's a point in the movie where I was already pissed that they gave me the bait and switch with the heist. And then they sit there and they get two cars. And then at the end, Dom's like, "Brian, you go ahead." And they're like, "Dom, don't. There's too many guys. You won't survive. Blah, blah, blah." This happens in all the movies, by the way.
All the movies.
Mm-hmm. And
he inevitably ends up in a car wreck where you're like, man, 13 people would have died. Yeah, already at this point.
Yeah, and they're like, "Dom, it's too many. You can't. You're not going to do it." And he's got they've been carrying the thing with two cars, which is already ridiculous. But then it's just one car. It's one charger and souped up charger. And he's got the vault, and he's on a bridge, and he's literally got like a dozen or more bad guy cars in front of him, and he just goes. And they said, "You can't do it. It's too many." And he just goes and he wrecks every single car as if he was planning this all along.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, Vin, buddy, you got to give Dom some hardship, man.
It's what they do. They improvise, man.
Yes, they do.
Improvise, adapt, overcome.
The amount of sighs.
Anyway.
So many sighs.
Also, we're supposed to root for the criminals, whatever. But they kill so many civilians.
Oh, yeah. Never in this franchise are they aware, or do they even give a shit about civilians?
No.
And that is another thing that I just love about it. They're like, who cares? Let's drive this safe around Brazil. And by the way, they really did this.
I know.
A bunch of shit in Brazil, and it's amazing. Like, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
Thank you, impoverished country, for letting us wreck it for entertainment. Brian, do you have any thoughts before we wrap up?
I agree that the one before this, I said before, it kind of starts to set the tone for what this is going to be. But this is where, yeah, the pedal hits the metal. It's fun. It's incredibly, incredibly fun. I'm not going to say it's a perfect example of this genre, but it is. Man, it's darn close.
Yeah.
It's better than most of the rest. That's all I can say about it.
Okay, fine.
So I want to, before we say bye, I want to give my overall thoughts. Having binged all these movies, it really, like, my brain is mush, and there are some things I just have to get off my chest really quickly. In the first movie, they say they will need a 10-second car.
Yeah.
Right. 10 seconds is the good amount of time it takes to drive a quarter mile. Mm-hmm. So why is every quarter mile race 5 minutes long?
It's not that kind of movie, kid.
The franchise, like I said, is part of the NCIS of movies. Groups of beautiful agents with different skills solving the case of a week. Really well-lit command center with all state-of-the-art stuff. They all talk and make jokes. All lowest common denominator jokes. Tyrese eats lots of candy. Ha ha ha. It's the perfect show, or it's the perfect movie if you just like shows that you don't have to pay attention to and you can watch them out of order. And it's shot like a TV show. So
they're just fun, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll say about this. The male gaze is
so present.
Disgusting. Every woman in this is treated as a sex object first, and then a somewhat capable human second,
except for Letty, who is both.
Yes, true.
I have respect for Michelle Rodriguez because she's does great. She clearly is like, I'm not, don't put me in fucking booty shorts.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then how do these people make money, and where do they get all this gear?
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
They sell DVD players in the first one.
Cool. Another part about this, we mentioned it, Roman Tyrese is terrible at everything. He gets beat up. He can't drive very well. He doesn't shoot well. Why do they keep him around?
Well, he does towards the end. He just starts, everybody starts to gain abilities. Like they're taking self-defense classes and shooting. Yeah. It's just amazing. Yeah.
I just don't know why they keep him around, because his jokes are also terrible.
Yeah. Oh, they're very bad, but I don't think they want to kill him for some reason. So he's just, because
Tyrese
be
would be like, you know, yeah,
he's
out of money
to make every single one of these movies.
And last but not least, no one ever wears seatbelts.
Nope.
And they survive every major wreck.
If you are inside of a car, you are safe.
Yeah. Like there are moments in F, I guess it's F9. Is that the one where it's Jacob, where Dom is driving the semi truck.
Mm-hmm.
And he chooses to blow up the front of the semi truck so that it can roll down a hill. And he's literally, as it's rolling, walking down the semi truck, the lengthwise of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And corrects it and lands on all the wheels and drives off.
Yes. There are moments where he drives himself and another person off a mountain and survives, or, you know, there are countless moments.
Put a seatbelt on, guys.
It doesn't matter. They're going to live. They're
you know why he doesn't wear a seatbelt? Because the seatbelt would cover up his dumb cross. That dumb cross that apparently they were giving away for like $5 for $1, because Jack Toretto had one. Jacob had one.
It's a Toretto Dom thing. Had
so gaudy and so terrible. I love it. At one point, they're like, it's like a $20 cross.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, and it's a tracking device in the eighth one, by the way.
Yes, with a light blinking, like she wouldn't notice.
Oh, what's this? Never mind.
Oh, don't worry about it. Why is your cross blinking, Dom? It's bad enough you don't wear sleeves, but
a lot of people like to compare Fast and the Furious with Mission Impossible because
they're both
long-running action franchises that started relatively small in comparison to where they've evolved, and both. Like, they have this number one goal to wow and entertain audiences. They just have very different mandates to do so. Like, Mission wants to do everything as practically as possible. The stakes are always taken very seriously. The characters are always taken very seriously. But they ultimately, they want the same thing. They want the experience to be like nothing else and bigger every time. And somehow still, you know, Mission wants to still feel real and grounded, where the Fast franchise just... their goal is to entertain at all costs.
Yes.
And just screw reality, screw physics, screw taking characters seriously. Is this over top and, you know, entertaining? Then let's do it. Who cares if it feels real? Let's just go for broke. And that's just kind of where they differ. Like, one's going to be like, we're going to do this as seriously and practically as possible. And one's just like, let's just have fun and throw colorful characters and toxic masculinity all over the place and this smorgasbord of unrealistic action orgy shit that's going on. It's just... It's what the 80s sent us. It's the road that they sent us down, you know.
Blame our grandparents or blame our parents. But here's what I'll say. Fast and Furious is like the Mission Impossible franchise's younger brother who huffed paint.
It's the Jacob Toretto of
it's so dumb. We're done.
I mean, I get why you hate it, but those are the reasons I love it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I'll say this too. It might seem like I came into this wanting to hate it, and I really did, but I did kind of want to be pleasantly surprised, because I hear nothing but good things from people I respect. And I'll tell you what, man, I can't buy in. I just can't.
You got to say this much though. There is no other franchise like it.
No, that's except for Mission Impossible, which does this and more and better.
But it's not like it. It's nothing like it, because they started
Mission Impossible.
It started like Cars, Girls, Muscles, and all that stuff.
It's still Cars, Girls.
Accumulated. Yeah, it is still that. It keeps that in every movie, but it's accumulated so much between the espionage and like family and giant egos offset and just this complete disconnect from reality. It just has grown into this behemoth, this monster that you're just like, there's nothing else like this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And well, I'm glad there's only one. I'll say that much. all right, guys, I'm going to wrap it up. Thank you for talking about this. I hate you for making me watch the movies.
Let's go see Fast X, guys.
I don't want to.
Come on, Jason Momoa.
I will say Jason Momoa petting guns is
licking
quite
blades.
Something.
Oh, he looks like he gets it too.
Yeah, the villains are having a blast in these movies.
And
for
they're
sure.
not going to kill them. They're just going to make them a part of the team. Another great thing about this movie, these franchises.
I can't. We could talk again. I could talk about this for hours. But the fact that Vin Diesel on the red carpet for this new one said, "Oh, we're not ending it next time. Just kidding. We're going to do two more."
Yeah, like, the studio wants three.
Three, a trilogy of finale films.
Do
oh
they
my
now?
God.
Yeah. You wonder if they even said that, if he's just like, nah, I'm not done yet.
Of course they didn't say that. And he's spending like $350 million. Anyway, whatever.
All right, guys.
Thank you so much. We will talk soon. I guess live life a quarter mile at a time, folks.
Perfect.